Welcome to another episode of the Colorectal Quiz. I am Felipe Jaldes, Colorectal Research Fellow at Children's National Hospital, and today we'll be discussing Hirschsprung disease's frozen sections. Make sure you download the sticker and app to follow along with images and other related cases. It can be downloaded from the App Store and the Google Play Store. Today we are joined by Dr. Mark Levitt from Children's National Hospital and Dr. Jason Frischer from Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, taking time to enhance your day with some more colorectal knowledge. Jason, how are you? Good to see you.
It's great to see you. I mean, waking up and seeing your face, I can't imagine what's better. Actually, I can, but
We have a great session on our colorectal quizzes today. We have a special guest continuing with our international series.
And Dr. Frischer is going to introduce today's very special guest, Dr. Martin Latcher.
Yes, we're going across the ocean, Mark, and halfway through a continent. But all the way from Germany, we have Martin Latcher, who is from the University of Leipzig and a professor there and runs their colorectal team. And this is just really exciting to have you join us and looking forward to a great case.
Dr. Latcher currently is in Germany. He also spent time during his training stateside.
And Martin has unique colorectal insight because he spent quality time in Birmingham and learned from Keith Jorgensen, who is one of our favorite humans on the earth.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Latcher. We hope you're doing well, especially with the time change from the States to Germany.
Doing great. Great to see you guys. It's noontime in Leipzig already. I did a case this morning already. Yeah, good to see you.
Okay, now it's time to get into this very interesting case from around the globe.
This is a male born 2019. I saw him at the age of 20 months. It was a late onset Hirschsprung's and rectosigmoid type Hirschsprung's, and had a really dilated descending colon. And we were thinking of putting an ostomy or not.
Now, this was pretty impressive. And how do I know that? Well, because of the degree of dilated colon attached to a contract rectal sigmoid zone on the images attached to this episode. You can see it too on the sticker and app, so make sure you have it downloaded so you can follow along with other images related to this episode.
Certainly, you could have done that primarily, but we chose that an ostomy would have been the better option to decompress the descending colon. And then we did a lab-assisted Swenson a couple of months later.
So this is a fairly late presentation of Hirschsprung disease, and there are some points to keep in mind for late diagnosis of Hirschsprung's in older kids.
About the older kid Hirschsprung's, as a reminder, they tend to limp along with sort of more subtle symptoms, more constipation, less issues about enterocolitis. And then you're faced, as Martin was faced, with the conundrum, do I do a primary repair? Do I divert? Bowel is very dilated. So it sounds like you did a smart thing.
And so in this case, we're going to do it in two stages. First, an ileostomy, and then plan for pull-through later. It's important to take biopsies so you have a plan for the level of the pull-through.
Yes, in fact, we did it like a single incision through the umbilicus, took out the colon and took biopsy and marked those with proline stitches that we had a permanent pathology prior to the pull-through. I think that's ideal. The frozen can be really misleading, but if you mark those biopsy sites and come back at a later time, that's actually a good thing.
Please remember that technical point. If you don't mark those sites, it's very hard to find the biopsies in the future. So I agree. I put a little proline stitch on the biopsy.
So then the patient comes back for their pull-through surgery, which now can be lap-assisted, which is Dr. Latcher's preferred approach, one that he learned here in the States.
I would call it laparoscopic Levitt type of pull-through, because I learned the Swenson pull-through from you. It's more or less a laparoscopic assisted Swenson. I think the beauty of laparoscopy is always that you can take the IMA, for example, and preserve the colonic arcade without stretching, without overstretching the anus. And you have a beautiful, well-perfused, pull-through, tension-free
And I agree. I know Jason agrees. We're Swenson fans, but there's no question that the laparoscopic portion really minimizes the amount of anal stretch that is required. It's very precise, very elegant. The one scenario, and we have talked about this in another podcast, but the one scenario I might consider transanal only is in such an older kid, because you know exactly where the transition zone is and you know you can confidently reach it.
In babies, you really want to know the level before starting, because the contrast study is only about 90% accurate.
And actually, you had confirmed in this case the level. So I might have gone after this transanal. That's not the purpose of this presentation. I like how you did it.
So how exactly did he do it then?
You want to tell us where your port placement was briefly? And then did you have looking at this contrast study, which obviously you could see on the State Current app, it's a great study. You actually see great thumbprinting. If you ever have to show a x-ray of thumbprinting, it's all over this. But where did you mobilize? Did you have to take the splenic flexure? Tell us your approach a little bit.
So my approach is to start transumbilical with a 3 millimeter port, then place a 5 millimeter in the right upper quadrant for the later camera, then use the umbilical port for the left hand, and then in the right lower quadrant, place the right hand. And what is really key is to place a fourth trocar, at least by a stab incision, in the left upper quadrant to lift up the colon, to really have a beautiful view on the arcade, on the entire descending colon. And then I go do a hit stitch to the bladder. Make sure you're not injuring the vas while descending in the pelvis. And I then dissect into the extraperitoneal rectum until I see the muscles of the pelvic floor contracting. And this is the point that I know when I then switch to transanal, the transanal part is only limited.
Okay, so what about the splenic flexure then in this case?
In this case, did you need to mobilize the splenic flexure looking at this contrast study?
Yes, we could not have enough tension. Also, you know, that's a disadvantage of taking the biopsies at the time of the ileostomy. A lot of times you have some adhesions of the former biopsy sides with the lateral abdominal wall.
Now we need to hear about what he does with the anastomotic site for pathology to ensure we have pull-through healthy colon with ganglion cells.
So we did a beautiful Swenson pull-through and we're very happy. And the anastomotic site was actually where we had a permanent pathology where there were ganglion cells. And what we do is copied from this paper here from Das and colleagues from 2010. We cut out a donut because our pathologists are always confused what is proximal, what is distal. And we agreed with them that this donut that is then put into four quadrants, four pieces, to make sure, because, you know, the transition zone is sometimes like a lip, is not circumferential sometimes. So you want to make sure in all the quadrants of the donut is ganglion cells. So pathology comes back, there is ganglion cells. However, 1 week later, the pathologist also studied the entire specimen again and said, well, it's ganglion cells in the donut, but not in the entire remaining specimen. So we figure we may have done a transition zone pull through because the only proof we have of a ganglionotic bowel is this 1 centimeter of donut.
Okay, so what do they do? Reoperate. And this is based on a GPS article about reoperative surgery for Hirschsprung's disease by Dane Teitelbaum. And it's linked here to this episode. And just a plug here for the Journal of Pediatric Surgery. Check it out and check out our article reviews for their high-yield papers. Okay, back to the case.
In that paper, he said, and I think he's right, if you're not happy with a permanent pathology, to go back in early is not so bad idea, because then it's very easy to redissect around the pull through and it's like the adhesions are not so firm.
So this is something that happens especially to surgeons who do a good number of pull throughs, but it's not an easy case.
And so let's talk about all the steps that happen there, because this is a big deal to take a patient back, you know, a week later to the operating room. It's a difficult conversation with the family. It's difficult on the surgeon. The kid just recovered, is probably just getting over all the ramifications of a bowel surgery, and now you're going to just hit them again over the head with a hammer. So let's talk about the biopsy. Mark, I think we all do the same thing. We preach taking this donut as our final specimen to the pathologist to make sure we're anastomosing a specimen that we're happy with. Any comments on that, Mark? Have you changed anything over time?
You know, I don't. It's a lot of work for them to analyze an entire donut. So I have not sent a donut and waited for the results of the donut. That's more of a final pathology confirmation. And I've never had this situation except once, which I want to talk about, which was during a redo for transition zone, where the pathologist changed their answer 3 weeks later. But in the sequence of a primary Hirschsprung's case, I know in my mind, where is the transition zone? I know where I want to go. I go higher than that. We've discussed here that 5 centimeters is a bit of nonsense, that everyone says go 5 centimeters higher. That's actually not true. There's a longer transition zone in many cases. But I go to where it looks good, which is usually the upper sigmoid, because I think there's advantages to having the ultimate pull through nice and straight if you ever need to irrigate. And it looks good. The lumen is good. It's above the dilated portion. It matches the contrast study. And I've never had a situation where I was wrong pathologically. I do send a full thickness specimen. I think it's very important to send a cube, not a diamond. The seromuscular layer square needs to be the same size square as the mucosa, because a lot of errors can occur if that specimen is not oriented correctly and they cut the slide tangentially.
Okay, so what should the pathologist be seeing on this cube?
The ganglionosis should not be visualized as a circle, concentric circles. It should be visualized more like a paint can, where the ganglion cells are dripping down the sides of the paint can. And in theory, you could biopsy in a transition zone because the circumferential ring is not perfect all the way around. But where you biopsied, where there perhaps was only a drip of the paint, not where the paint was not dripping, that might be transition zone. But I will tell you, with the strategy I just employed, I have not had that situation.
My initial biopsies, I always go to the pathology lab and make the pathologist make me believe that I'm seeing a ganglion cell and abundant of ganglion cells, not just, oh, maybe there's one there.
And don't forget, Jason, and this is something you and I helped develop when we were together in Cincinnati, the pathologist will literally refuse to do an analysis unless you give them submucosa. One of the cardinal sins is to check seromuscular only, because that could have ganglion cells and the submucosal layer could have hypertrophic nerves. So the pathologists who are doing it right needs to say they've checked all levels, and not only is the seromuscular good, but the submucosal layer is good.
Back to the case, so this kid went back to the operating room. This involved a very involved conversation with the family to be able to redo the anastomosis before complete healing has occurred, and hopefully avoid the problems that arise with reoperative surgery later on.
This is a unique chance to do it again. And at a later time, after a couple of weeks, there's no chance to go back in again, and the results after reoperative transanal pull-throughs are not great. You know, the number of anastomotic dehiscences is great. And I think one reason is that you can never enter in the anal canal in the same plane. And if you go back early, you just release the stitches and you arrive there in the same plane again and can do a re-anastomosis to the anal canal exactly in the same plane where you went in initially. And that's why I think we did not face any dehiscence here. The anastomosis ended up healing in beautifully. We checked via EUA 2 weeks later to make sure that this is healing and fine. So I think reoperative Hirschsprung's transanal surgery is not as complicated if you go in back early. And the parents understood, and that's why we did it.
Huge point, right? Mark, don't you think?
I think that was very well explained and very well managed.
Okay, so check out the next image in the Stay Current app with the dominoes. And this is a really critical point of this case and many other surgical cases where things don't go exactly as planned.
Martin put a very cool image in his slide of discussion points of dominoes falling and a hand blocking the cascade of dominoes to stop the process from continuing. And it harkens back to a great quote by Fred Reichman, who Jason and I know very well, who used to say, no matter how far down the wrong road you have gone, you can still turn around. And I think the surgical lesson is demonstrated by this case is that it's hard to stop and say, time out, I need to back up, I need to solve the problem now and not let it cascade. And I think you really did a good service. Jason, good session again. Should we invite our guest to perhaps provide us with a ending joke? Colorectal oriented or more dad type joke to end the session, which has been our tradition. Something more with a more German flair, perhaps.
I could help you out if you're stuck, because I've been known to give excellent, excellent jokes during these sessions.
I'm not sure about the excellent part, but definitely he has provided some jokes.
I have one that's very apropos for this session. I just learned the word for constipation in German.
Okay, what is it?
Far from pooping.
That's okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Good. Double thumbs up.
Sounds German to me. All right. Listen, Jason, enjoy your day. Go forth and help some children.
Yes.
Martin, I hope we see each other soon, and really appreciate the time you spent on this session.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Colorectal Quiz. And remember to download the Stay Current app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store to check out the images and algorithms we discussed in this episode. Additionally, remember to follow us on social media and check out our YouTube channel for more pediatric surgery content.